Hey, you're listening to the voice of the great Bob Berry Jr. from News Channel 4 in Oklahoma City tonight on Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're breaking it all down. Okay, what about Marcus Mariota? Does his stock, did it drop quite a bit after Oregon? Just they simply weren't able to get things done. I mean, Ohio State really did look bigger, stronger, and faster.
Yeah, and I certainly don't blame the loss on Mariota. It isn't like he turned it over. Remember, Ohio State's the team that turned it over four times. So I thought Marcus kind of did all he could. He had some receivers. He didn't help him at all with early drops in that game. And I thought he actually kind of showed pretty well in the game. I didn't put it on him. He didn't play defense. He wasn't the one being assaulted by Ohio State's offense, in the run game and with Cardale Jones passing. So now I think Mariota's stock is just fine. And like I said, I'll probably be surprised if he's not the number one overall pick.
Hey, you ever seen a team like the Buckeyes respond to so many chaotic situations and ultimately be able to come out on top? I mean, burning through three quarterbacks?
I would be lying to you if I said I watched them a bunch. You know why? Because I saw them against Virginia Tech early in the year at home. They looked horrible, and they got beat by a very average, if not below average, Virginia Tech team. So I kind of put a line through them, Alyssa, when that happened. I go, well, who cares about Ohio State and typical Big Ten? Everybody's down. Michigan's no good. Michigan State's just all right. Wisconsin's okay. I mean, and now look at how we view the Big Ten now with Ohio State doing what they've done. They win a national title. Michigan goes out and hires Jim Harbaugh, and you're all of a sudden the Big Ten is the glory league coming up. I mean, what a boost for that conference that needed it in the most desperate way.
I was going to say a huge inoculation with the addition of Jim Harbaugh, but what about your thoughts in the national championship game without an SEC team? I mean, that was huge in its sense.
Loved it, absolutely loved it, of course, being a guy who's covered the Big 12 and we're tired of hearing about the SEC. But, no, I was shocked by Ohio State beating Alabama. And I didn't think, for whatever reason, I believe, we need to keep an eye on Kirby Smart and some of these guys at Alabama that coach defense, because Nick Saban's got to be unhappy with the way teams have kind of, mowed through Alabama's defense the last few years. And it didn't just start with Oklahoma and the Sugar Bowl. You know, Auburn had a ton of yards in that game that they had to win on a 108-yard field goal return. But then Auburn this year, had what? That unbelievable first half when they had almost 400 yards at halftime. They scored 44 in the game anyway, and Alabama had to win a shootout. So it just seems like Bama, for whatever reason, even under the brilliant Nick Saban, have had a really tough time stopping these high-powered, quick-tempo offenses. And so that has to be a little bit concerning if you're Bama now. And look at what happened to the Mississippi schools, Alyssa.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
So much attention was paid to Ole Miss and Mississippi State early in the season. And at the end of the year, those guys were nowhere. And TCU just absolutely destroyed Ole Miss in the bowl game, which was a big feather in the Big 12's cap because they had a bad bowl season. So I think the thing that I came out of, besides Ohio State's brilliance in winning it all, was how bad they probably felt in Fort Worth going, man, we should have been in that playoff if TCU was playing as well as anybody at the end of the year.
You know, we give a lot of love and praise to Urban Meyer, but just Gary Patterson, the job that he has done within that program has just been remarkable.
Well, it has. So many different leagues, so many years. When they came into the Big 12, they struggled for a few seasons, and to his credit, he said, you know what, I've got to go run an offense that I maybe don't know about, but I'll get some guys that do. So then he gets Sonny Cumbie and Doug Meacham to retool that offense, and look what they did to Trevon Boykin. So that's how I really give it up to Coach Patterson for that, where he was willing to kind of go out of his comfort zone and find something else that works. And look at them. I mean, they would have to be, in my mind, it's Ohio State and TCU in the preseason rankings next year, 1-2.
Absolutely. He's got the Midas touch and certainly has accomplished a lot. Let's transition now. Let's head up I-35. Talk to me about the Sooners. Massive change has taken place. The program certainly did need a big-time facelift, and it started with a new offensive coordinator.
Which surprised me, to be honest with you. I thought Oklahoma's defense was awful most of the season, and I really thought the changes would start there on the defensive side of the scrimmage line. So when they didn't, was a little surprised, because Oklahoma's offense, they scored 30, 33, and 35 points in three of their losses. That ought to be plenty. But Josh Heupel was sent on his way, as was Jay Norvell. And these had to be tough decisions for Bob Stoops, because, Josh Heupel was his only national champion quarterback when Oklahoma won it all in 2000. And basically Bob Stoops raised him in the coaching profession. And Jay Norvell was a lifelong buddy of Bob Stoops. I think they go back 30 years to their playing days at Iowa. So for him to launch those two guys was big. Now they bring in Lincoln Riley. All I can do is tell you, he comes with high regard. He's so young, 31 years old from East Carolina, but he has a Texas Tech background. It was a little surprising to me, though, because Riley is so joined at the hip with Mike Leach, mm-hmm. and so was Josh Heupel. So it seems to me you had a Mike Leach guy in Josh Heupel, and you just replaced him with a Mike Leach guy in Lincoln Riley. So a bit surprising. We'll see. Maybe fresh blood will enthuse Oklahoma's offense. But like I said, they, for the most part, their offense with Samaje Perine and some of those guys, they need receivers for sure, and they need consistent play at quarterback when they're still looking for that guy. But yet they had their moments in games when they did plenty enough to win. It was the defense. It couldn't stop anybody. So when Bobby Jack Wright announced his retirement the other day, the cornerbacks coach for Oklahoma, they've now got an opening to get a secondary guy. They promoted Jerry Montgomery, the defensive line coach, to co-coordinator. They really like his recruiting ability and his coaching ability. But they still got to be a lot better on defense in 2015 to contend for anything, I think.
Absolutely. We are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to hear from you. Join in on the conversation at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And you can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Talking about the changes that have taken place with Oklahoma football, do you think that Josh Heupel, that he should have been removed?
Well, it was just, you know, like I said, it was a problem. You know, all the coordinators are always the most popular or unpopular, depending on how what the team is doing on the field. It was a disastrous season for Oklahoma by any stretch of the imagination. You have to look at it and say, with all what they were expected to do, they were in everybody's top four at the beginning of the year, and to finish no better than fourth in the conference and lose five times and then have that atrocious bowl performance against Clemson when they trailed 40-0 after three quarters, and they were going up against, ironically, their former defensive coordinator,
Brad Venables.
And he was basically run off of the job. You know, he was basically removed when Mike Stoops was brought back to work with his brother again. Venables was forced out, and now he goes and just hammers his old team, gets a huge raise, now making $1.3 million with a smile from earlobe to earlobe at Clemson, and so it was just awful. And new changes had to occur. That's why I don't think they're done yet. There could even be some more changes on that staff before spring ball begins in Norman.
Hey, just a few more minutes with Bob Berry Jr. tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Brent Venables talking about the defensive coordinator with the Clemson Tigers. You're talking about that big raise, what, a $500,000 raise, is that correct?
Yeah, and I think he deserved it. I mean, they had the number one defense in the country, and they certainly didn't have any problems hammering Oklahoma. It's just amazing the pay scale, how it's increased for assistants. I guess John Chavis went to join, A&M now, Elissa, and he's making $0.7 million as a defensive coordinator, the highest-paid assistant coach in the country. It's amazing. The assistants have come a long way from back in the day when $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 was the norm, and that wasn't too long ago.
I know. So what is your confidence level as we look ahead to 2015? Are they going to be able to resurrect and turn this baby around?
Oh, I don't know. I was shocked the other day when one of the bookmakers in Vegas or one of the casinos or something came out and had Oklahoma a 12-1 favorite to win it all next year. I'm going, what exactly are you guys looking at here? This isn't 1985. Mm-hmm. It's 2015. So I just think, you know, sometimes when you don't know anything, you go by the names you recognize. But in my mind, Oklahoma is slipping in that name recognition department. They'll tell you they need facilities. Well, they're trying to raise almost $400 million to upgrade their facilities, but 8-5 makes a lot of people hesitant to write big checks. So it seems to me it's got to start on the field. You've got to get better players. You got to play a lot better, and then that will enthuse people, even in this era of low oil prices, which has a big thing.
It's been crazy.
Economy.
Yes.
People don't pay that enough attention, but where I live, that's huge. I mean, the oil price of oil is down, therefore a lot of your boosters are struggling economically, so you know that's got to play into it. But 8-5 just might as well have been 0-13, you know, anywhere else. And so they've got to get better players. They've got to get more hungry, more aggressive on the recruiting trail. Alyssa, I think they need to shrink their recruiting base back to the Texas roots that got them so successful, even in the Coach Stoops early years, and certainly when Coach Switzer was there. And let's get back to that stuff, because Baylor and TCU are getting all those Texas kids. Oklahoma State has more than 70. Texas kids on their roster, and they're playing better than Oklahoma right now.
Hey, one of the best in the business, Bob Berry Jr. with News Channel 4 breaking it all down. I know he's a big Packers fan, so he'll be having his eye watching the NFC Championship. So go Packers for you. Okay, Bobby?
Thank you. If we could just get about, 12 or 15 of those Seattle Seahawks to come down with the flu or something before Sunday, that would really be good for me. Alyssa, thank you very much. Love listening to you.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. You stay close.